From the 8, they're going to throw. Here is, no, he's going to run. Book taken off for the end zone. Touchdown, Ian Book.
Play action. Cousins to the end zone. It is Diggs. His third touchdown today. Watson has options here. Watson, the shake and bake. The twirl for the touchdown. Deshaun Watson puts the Texans in front.
Fake to belt. Go deep. Anderson's out there. This is going to go the distance. 92 yards. Darnold to Anderson.
Russell Wilson hit as he throws for the end zone. Catch made. Jerron Brown, a Seahawks touchdown. Wilson was never able to see it as they celebrate Seattle style.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on this Monday. I think this is going to be the first time we ever have a boy band open up the show. Ever?
Probably the one and only.
I guarantee you it is the first time.
Yes.
Whether it'll be the last time, I can't unequivocally say. That is for you, Seattle Seahawks fans.
Yeah, that wasn't Seattle style Chris Myers. And Chris Myers has been around a long time. I mean, Seattle style would be maybe some Hendrix or right. Nirvana, yeah, Soundgarden.
Soundgarden, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. That was boy band style.
But it was incredible. For those of you that didn't see, Seattle Seahawks scored. Well, Seattle Seahawks scored a little bit.
A lot.
A little bit yesterday. But on one particular celebration, the entire offensive crew came in and did the bye-bye-bye dance, and it was spectacular.
Fantastic.
I saw someone say it was basketball. We talked about basketball last week, where they predicted the moving of franchises and no loyalty to any areas and yada, 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 right? It also predicted long, drawn out, elaborate celebrations for goals, home runs, and touchdowns, and I'm here for all of it.
I love that stuff. I think it was the Vikings last year that did the hopscotch.
Yeah.
That's
Bears
good.
Bears on Thanksgiving Day. Do you remember that one? The Chicago Bears did the Motown one.
That's right, yeah, in Detroit. Makes
right.
sense.
In Detroit, yes, which yep. was, I mean, outstanding. Listen,
I think the Eagles did a bowling.
Yeah, it's 15 seconds.
Yeah.
It's 15 seconds for 20 minutes of work, or in the case of, you know, summer camp and life.
You want to speed the game up? That's not something that's slowing the game
down.
Yeah,
yeah. No. It's definitely making it enjoyable. I think a lot of people smiled at that. Hell, I wanted Carlos Correa, after he hit that dinger last night, the walk-off in the ALCS. Oh. I wanted like a Michael Jackson crotch grab and like a 360 twirl and a yeah, I mean, like, do it all, man. Like, do it all. Plus, I love seeing pitchers upset because they're so sensitive.
Yes.
They are. They're ridiculous. Pitchers are the worst.
Well, and I think Fox kind of screwed that up because I had my head down.
Yeah.
And I just come back and I hear Joe Buck, that is gone. And I'm like, wait a minute, where was the rejoin, the reset, and here's the pitch? I didn't hear any of that or see any of that. I just happened to pick my head up and yeah. I was in the process of reading a magazine. Because that's what I do during commercial breaks or play on my phone.
Well, it's extra innings in a 2-2 game, too. As well,
yeah. You know I'm looking to see all the comments from Yankee fans crying about the third strike that was actually the fourth strike. But
27 World Series titles, and yet all that complaining still.
Well, that pitch, I get it. It was probably outside.
It
well,
was.
There's no problem.
No, it definitely was.
It was outside.
It's a consistency issue.
But you got a break.
Yep.
Because it was strike three, and there was no foul tip.
Yep.
So they even out. Justice was served.
Bring on the robots.
Yes.
I know we're scared of the robots here on the Mac Attack. We are.
Except if they're calling balls and strikes.
Yeah. Did you actually see, you know who else is running on a robot platform? Did you see Andrew Yang, the presidential campaign Democratic guy?
I'm familiar with him. I don't know all. I know he wants to give everybody $1,000.
He wants to do that. He wants to give everyone $1,000 a month.
A month?
I believe so.
Wow.
I thought it was a month.
Wow. Sign me up.
Oops. I better be correct on that before I go throwing out people's running platforms. But no, Andrew Yang, big on the anti-robot apocalypse.
Oh, he's anti-robot.
Oh, he's highly anti-automation. Oh. I don't know his full platform. I just know he talks about robots a lot.
Like, I talk
about
robots
a lot. Yeah. Now, I'm sure he's of the same vein that I am in regards to, hey, we know it's coming. Like, we're not idiots. We're not trying to stop automation or progress. Just pump the brakes.
Well, after
you
seeing
have to assimilate society ready for this new era.
After seeing the commercials multiple times yesterday for the new Terminator movie, I'm definitely on board with you. No robots. No. I'll pass. Yeah. It's the most dangerous one ever, so they have to go get 78-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger out of the woods in Montana.
74-year-old Linda Hamilton.
Yes.
I want to like it so much. James Cameron is back, but I watched the previews. I can't get on. I can't, dude.
I think they got the guy from Deadpool, too.
I did. They did. I did Terminator Salvation.
No,
I
thanks.
I did them all. I've done them all.
I checked out after Guns N' Roses did You Could Be Mine.
That was the one also. I think that was Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
No, it was
T2. Oh, it was?
Yeah. Guns N' Roses, You Could Be Mine, T2.
All right.
You checked, great open
you
to that
you
song.
Checked, you checked out of after T2?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, after T2.
Yeah.
But you saw T2.
Yes, okay, yes. Good. Oh, no, it wasn't like I passed on T2. T2 was better than the original.
Did you see, and before I'll be set up the show here, Jeff Erickson, the senior editor of RotoWire, is going to stop by because we have lots of news to get to in the NFL, and we'll be hitting that with Jeff and plenty more over the next few minutes. But we're going to actually jump to college, and we're going to go locally. Did you see what the UNLV Rebels did against Vanderbilt in their home, well, I don't want to say home stadium, because if you followed Cofield on social media and looked at the crowd there at Vandy, it was worse than a UNLV game. But the Rebels went out there and took care of business, man. First time ever the UNLV Rebels have beaten SEC team.
That is sort of correct. First time in a regular season game.
Ah!
They beat Arkansas in the Las Vegas Bowl with Jason Thomas when he had that phenomenal sophomore season. John Robinson was a coach. I believe it was 1999, 2000 season. No, it would have been 2000, I think.
Okay.
Because the following year they went on the road, and they had Arkansas on the ropes in the fourth quarter, and they ended up coming back and winning that game. The Razorbacks did in Fayetteville. But, yeah, first regular season win for UNLV against an SEC team. And, by the way, Mountain West, pretty good against Power 5 this year. Best of the, well, non-Power 5 conferences.
To play against the Power 5, yeah.
Best record. So, you know, good season for the Mountain West out of conference. And I would say arguably maybe the biggest win of the Tony Sanchez era. I mean, I know people would say, well, some of those wins against Reno were big.
I would say that Reno won last year, comeback.
But I feel like this was a statement game. Because, I mean, reality is they could have thrown the towel in. They had lost 4 in a row.
That's a good point.
They we're starting a backup quarterback on the road.
On the road, enemy territory. SEC. It was a garbage turnout.
I don't care if it's an SEC school.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the thing. It's like it's still an SEC school.
I'm with you.
You know, and I would imagine not a lot of kids from UNLV would have, even if it's a bad SEC school. I'm guessing a pretty large majority of those kids would not have been recruited by Vanderbilt.
No question.
And, so good win for the program. And like I see people still trashing Sanchez on social media.
Well,
let them enjoy this victory. It's a big win.
That I agree with. Let them
next
enjoy.
Next week, if they get rolled by Fresno, go right ahead.
Which there's a good chance they will. Yeah. I mean, listen, this is a...
They've won at Fresno before. I mean, they could do it again.
They have, and they just beat Vanderbilt. And listen, you know, they've been in other games here and there. But yeah, I'm with you. Let them have it in terms of the enjoyment. Don't... You know, that's when trolling really takes over, right? That's you reek of trolling. If you are a UNLV fan, I don't care if Donald Trump is your head coach and you're not a Donald Trump fan. Like, you're happy for UNLV. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if you hate with the very fabric of your being Tony Sanchez.
Yeah.
If you are a Rebel fan, you shut up for 5 or 6 days and you enjoy the first regular season win. Thank you. In the history of UNLV football. That's it, bottom line.
It's and you know, the funny thing is, like, I was asked yesterday on another show if the team had turned the corner.
Mm.
If this is a turning corner game.
I hope you said no.
Corner turning game.
I hope you said no.
I said no.
Yeah, okay.
Because this is not the first time, right? Like last year, they won on the road at San Diego State. The year before, they won on the road at Fresno with a third string quarterback. A guy who was playing linebacker. Had converted back to quarterback.
Yeah, it's
they
like this.
Have played tough. They played tough against Ohio State, or not Ohio State, against Michigan in the Big House.
Right, it's like this. Here's what I would say. Lose against the teams you're supposed to lose against, and win against the teams you're supposed to win against. Stop beating the teams you're not supposed to beat. We know you're supposed to lose against them. Take care of the games you're supposed to win.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you look at their schedule, if they can somehow win at Fresno, which is a tall task, but Fresno, not the best Fresno State team we've seen, they've got a chance to win out. Because both San Diego State and Hawaii are coming here. Colorado State's not that good.
Yeah.
And you go on the road to Reno, you play San Jose State at home. I mean, there's a chance. There is a chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But if this team can win at Fresno, there's a chance they could make that bowl game.
All right, let's hit it. Let's get to the pros.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Round one, fight.
Well, first of all, before we get to pro football, I do have to mention what a massive weekend it was for the Vegas Golden Knights. Big wins on Saturday against Calgary and a big win last night in Los Angeles against the Kings. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow with the VGK Insiders Magnum, but we talked about it going into this weekend. No Nate Schmidt. You know, the return of Cody Eakin was nice to see. He's been playing lights out. I mean, in terms of effort, I mean, stat line, okay, fine, but
he's always going to give you 100% effort.
His effort is stupid. But you're seeing what we talked about going into this weekend. I want to see how the blue line responds, right? I think they're responding pretty well. There was a little shaky there for, I would say, about six or seven, maybe five or six periods.
Well, you know, the response from the blue line was good.
Yeah.
Two goals in each game the last two nights, back-to-back, against a high-powered Calgary offense.
Yep.
With one of the best players in the league, Johnny Gaudreau. You watch that guy, it's ridiculous.
And he was completely shut down.
Yeah, I mean, outside of that one kind of goofy goal that he scored, that I still am trying to figure out how that went in. But, yeah, I mean, they kind of neutralized him. They neutralized that first line of Calgary. And then last night in L.A., they go on the road. And, I mean, I think it was kind of an emphatic, that's the word I'm going to use, emphatic victory over the Kings, because it was 2-0 in the first period. L.A. gets back in. All of a sudden, it's 4-1. Paul Stastny, a couple goals.
Paul Stastny, what a gem. I mean, we knew this last year. He's basically, without the injury, he's basically a point-per-game guy, right? But what a gem he's been in terms of coming in, dropping from line two down to line three, doing whatever it takes. He's got a last name.
Yeah.
He could be an ass about it. He could make problems.
Yeah, he doesn't.
But he doesn't. And instead, he delivers, and he remains that constant, that pillar there, whether it be line two or three. And as of late, he's just been smoking.
By the way, I bet him over 14.5 goals.
So you're feeling pretty good.
I am feeling pretty good. I also have Riley over 17.
They're feeling pretty good.
Feeling pretty good about that one, too. Now,
Now that you mentioned it on the air, though, they're both going to go goalless for the next 15 games.
Yeah, it's all my fault. Come get me if that happens. But you know, Paul Stastny is just that guy. When you watch him, especially with Pacioretty and Stone, he just knows where to put the puck. And I remember him telling me he doesn't watch film. You believe that?
No.
Doesn't watch film.
Especially the lineage.
And I am. Well,
you know, grandfather, father.
Oh, that's the thing. His father, he said it went back to when he was playing youth hockey. And his dad, they didn't have film. His dad would ask him, hey, you remember second period, third shift, you did this?
And he had to be on because his dad was
one of the all time great NHL players.
Right. You don't want to come up short with an answer when you got a Hall of Famer asking.
Yeah, so he was. It was funny because when he told me, I was like, no, there's no way. And he's like, yeah, I don't watch film. He's like, very rarely, because I remember things. I know where guys are supposed to be. I trust them. And you can see how comfortable he is with those two guys.
All right, so we will do more on the Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow. We'll have Ryan the Hockey Guy and VGK Frank in the building. We'll take a deep dive as the Knights get ready for a pretty game, big game tomorrow back here in Vegas, which we will also preview. But, this is an NFL Monday. Obviously, we got Monday Night Football coming up. A little bit later in the NFC North, Lions take on the Packers. We'll touch a little bit on that with Jeff Erickson from RotoWire when he stops by in about 15 minutes. But what I got to start with as we talk about NFL Sunday yesterday, Kansas City Chiefs losing again, back-to-back losses at home. Okay, back-to-back weeks, losses at home. First time that has happened for the Kansas City Chiefs since 2015. So obviously, that's the first time in the Mahomes era that has happened. And as we talk about Mahomes, shut down in the second half to the tune of 41 yards total in the second half yesterday, courtesy of the Houston Texans. And speaking of Houston, they didn't punt yesterday. Now, that's a lot to unpack, right? First of all, Mahomes with 41 yards. Listen, what is happening right now is what we so often talk about with second-year quarterbacks. Opponents are getting tape on them. They're starting to be able to game plan for the phenom that is Patrick Mahomes. Do I think any less of Patrick Mahomes? No, I don't. I think if you're in the AFC, the AFC West, whatever the case may be, you should still be shaking in your boots because this is a quarterback that is going to be there, presuming that he is healthy, for the next decade plus. He's that good. But He is going to have to adjust because teams are clearly adjusting. Case in point, the last 2 weeks, the Kansas City Chiefs' time of possession is at 21 minutes and 12 seconds average for the last two games. That is the lowest in the NFL. They are attempting 12 and a half rushing attempts per game, last in the NFL. They are allowing 186 yards per game in the run, last in the NFL. So what does that tell me? Well, people are starting to figure out how to beat the Chiefs. And that's ball control. I don't think that's anything new. I think they were trying to do it last year, but now you have a better idea how you're going to stop Pat Mahomes. And when you're talking about, well, you're allowing the rush, which is gnarly. I mean, now you have to really figure out a way to put a plug in that sieve that is leaking because it's ample, right? But it's not time to overreact. What's happening right now, our teams are realizing, listen, the Raiders did it for a little bit too. They were able to shut down the Chiefs minus one quarter, and then Pat just went crazy. Mahomes just went nuts and started lobbing the ball over the field and, like, what was it, 260 yards in a quarter? It was crazy. But we've seen this now. Teams are starting to get an idea of just how they want to approach the Kansas City Chiefs, and that is run, 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 pound, 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 keep the ball away from Pat Mahomes, and keep that defense tired. I don't think that's breaking new ground. Now, it's going to be up for the Chiefs specifically. The key number that I read, because the game planning against them, there's only so much they can do, right? They can't help it if a team wants to run, run, run. I mean, you have to stop the run. That's the idea, right? But more specifically, on your end, you have to stop relying on Pat Mahomes so often. 12 and a half rushing attempts per game in the last two games. That I ain't going to get the job done, man.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy has been invisible the last 2 weeks.
He's old!
But that's a big part of it, right? He is your running back. You picked him up specifically because he knew Andy Reid's offense and because you expected him to contribute. He's been invisible the last 2 weeks. I know because he's on my fantasy team.
Now we get to the bottom of it. But now, yeah, go ahead.
What I also saw yesterday was Deshaun Watson saying to the world, y'all are ready to make him the heir apparent to Tom Brady. I'm here to tell you, not so fast. I can play as well. And Deshaun Watson, I mean, he did throw that interception in the end zone, but for the most part,
he was on fire.
He is. If he can stay healthy,
yeah,
he is an unbelievable quarterback. He's got a fantastic wide receiver. Actually, he's got a couple because Will Fuller is nothing to sneeze at.
And I'm a big proponent of Will Fuller.
And if Carlos Hyde can contribute the way he does, I mean, I still don't trust Bill O'Brien, but they've got a good defense.
I get it.
Right? J.J. Watt's still one of the premier defensive players in the league.
Really?
I mean, that's a good football team.
Maybe you shouldn't have got rid of Clowney.
Yeah, maybe you should. Well, Seattle's probably saying, hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, but tip of the cap to you.
But I think Deshaun Watson was like, hey, I can play too.
Yeah.
And when Tom Brady finally hangs it up, I'm here to win Super Bowls in H-Town.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had Watson as my MVP this year. Now, full disclosure, I had him as my MVP last year. So clearly, I think very highly of Deshaun.
You're a big fan.
He is my starting quarterback of my big money.
I'm becoming a big fan of his.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we saw what he did at college. I believe he has the leadership qualities. I believe he can command a huddle, and his talent is second to none. Now, whether that manifests itself in a Hall of Fame career in the NFL, it's anyone's guess, but I'm with you. We know what that's like, right? We talk about playing up to your competition when good teams lose to bad teams, right? You see it all the time. Team gets maybe a little bit ahead of themselves. They let off the gas a little bit, and they get taken advantage of. This is the opposite of that. This is playing up to your competition in a good way, right? We know this. When quarterbacks play other quarterbacks, especially big-name quarterbacks, lights fire into their butt, right? That absolutely happened with Deshaun Watson against Pat Mahomes. He's been having to hear about Mahomes left and right. They've both been here. I mean, I don't know if they're laughing or hearing, but Mitch Trubisky obviously going before them. So when you meet up with a guy like that, yeah, you're going to want to go on the national stage and you're going to want to make waves, and he absolutely did when we talk about Deshaun Watson.
And I get they're 4-2.
Yeah.
They've lost both those games by a combined 8 points. I still have no idea how they lost the Panthers.
Kyle Allen.
But they lost to the Saints by 2 points.
Yeah.
So they're a quality team. Are they a team that can compete for a Super Bowl? I don't think so.
Mm.
But if Deshaun Watson plays like he did yesterday and they're able to get pressure on Brady.
Yep.
I still don't know about Bill O'Brien.
Well,
I mean, it's that's the one that but I mean, he's a good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach.
And that's what they're going to need, I would assume. But I'm with you. The book is still out on Bill O'Brien. As we look in the AFC West, though, move from the South to the West, and we talk about these Chiefs, the Raiders now find themselves one game behind the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know it's early, but the Raiders are playing with real passion, with real team chemistry. And listen, we have seen them hang with the Chiefs for three quarters. If it is not for that one quarter, it is very possible that the Raiders beat the Chiefs. So, again, it's early, but the Raiders are honestly in prime position. When they started this nightmare of a road trip, I could have never predicted they would be sitting in this situation, one game behind the Kansas City Chiefs. So, no more bye week this week. We will be on the Raiders, talking all the Raiders leading up this week as we head into next week. But let's stay on this weekend, because there are a lot of upsets. None more so impressive than probably your boys, Chris Chapman, you East Coast, you.
Yes.
The return of Mono Boy himself.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Hey, man. I think a lot of the bettors were happy.
Yeah, because I think the Jets getting the points. I know a lot of the media in New York was believing that this would be a week that the Jets would create some havoc, and they get the job done. Sam Darnold, listen, I mean, I'm not ready to say he's going to be an elite quarterback.
Well, no, I asked you, what, 3 weeks ago, if you could have the future of the Jets or the Giants. You picked the Giants.
I still think so, because I think Saquon Barkley is a little bit young. He's younger than Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell still not won 100-yard game yet this season. Now, granted, it's a little unfair because he's had Luke Falk as his quarterback for a good majority of the season.
We talked about game planning and scheming. People going into play in New York knew exactly what they had to stop.
But what has me concerned is the Jets are not using Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield to catch passes. Now, maybe that's going to come, but they didn't do it a whole lot yesterday. Le'Veon Bell was kind of, I mean, I know he had the touchdown, but he was kind of a non-factor. The Jets won that game for two reasons. Greg Williams, who we talked about week two, had a fantastic game plan to go after Dak Prescott and hit him. They were aggressive. They got to him. And Sam Darnold was just a gem yesterday. I mean, he was so good. Tony Romo was drooling over him, which I think Tony Romo is one of the best analysts out there. Like, he really understands the game.
I agree.
And he was so positive on Darnold that it got me giddy as a Jets fan listening to
it. Got you hyped up.
Now, some horrific pass interference calls in the fourth quarter.
That's been the story this year, man.
They helped the Cowboys get that last touchdown.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Jamal Adams blitzed up the middle on a two-point conversion, disrupted Dak and caused an incomplete pass.
Ball game.
And the Cowboys have now lost three in a row, but I don't care. The Jets have won one in a row, and that's all that matters.
This ain't a Cowboys story, although we will ask Jeff Erickson coming up here in about 5 minutes who his contenders and pretenders are after this wild week in the NFL, because I do say wild week because, well, the 49ers keep winning.
Oh, man.
I can't say I'm particularly surprised. I had them pegged in for a potential wild card out there in the NFC. They're a pretty solid team, but what they're showing us right now is beyond solid. We are looking at potentially the best team in the NFC. I don't know. It's crazy how quick a corner this team has turned, and no more so clear than the preseason predictions surrounding this squad. Not a lot of people were favorable to the San Francisco 49ers, and understandably, right? We hadn't seen a lot from Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, he's a new quarterback, essentially a rookie. I think he only had like eight starts in his career prior to this.
Yeah, because he was injured last year,
So people were understandably hesitant to put them over, to use a pro wrestling term.
Yes.
To put over the San Francisco 49ers.
But you look at that last part of the season 2 years ago when he was in San Francisco, he was really good.
He was. And maybe people forgotten about that. One person that never did not forget how good Jimmy G was, or what people had been saying in the preseason, was Richard Sherman. Now, Richard Sherman 2 weeks ago came out and spit some hot fire at the media after a victory and essentially said, if you didn't believe in us prior to this season, don't believe in us now. We don't want you. Well, He hasn't really stopped with that narrative. This is Richard Sherman after the game on Sunday night or Sunday
We
afternoon.
Want them to sound dumb at the end. Like, stick to your guns. If you were calling us pretenders in the beginning, call us pretenders now. Call us pretenders the whole time, because you gotta be that way. You don't get to go hindsight is 2020 with this every year. You know what I mean? Just stick to your words. Stick to your guns. We're a terrible team. We don't have enough talent. We're just, you know, on a rebuilding year, et cetera, whatever the case may be, whatever your word was, please stick to it. For those who believed in us, the faithful, continue to believe in us. Continue to be humble. We're going to give you guys a good show, and we're going to fight as hard as we can.
Does Richard Sherman not understand how media works? Like, that, listen.
He knows.
I know, but what? So when you say he knows, are you suggesting that he's doing this for sound bites?
He knows how to play the media. He's a very smart guy.
He is, but here's my point. This does read like sour grapes to me. This is the second week in a row he's brought this back, preseason predictions. Richard, why do you hold in such high regard the opinions of neckbeard mouth breathers? Well, myself included.
Because,
like, if I had $100 million, Magnum, or $80 million, this is like when KD made the burner account in the NBA. Right?
Yes. Why do you care?
Why do you care?
Well,
our opinions are invalid. They mean next to nothing. I just can't imagine Richard Sherman sitting on his laptop in the offseason in the summer. Matt Hasselbeck has this pegged. Yeah. Okay, well, Matt's a former player, so maybe, but, you know, Trey Wingo has this pegged in 4-12. Well, I'm going to show Trey Wingo. I'm going to play this entire season to smite these analysts on these networks. How dare they pick against us? What? Who cares what non-consequential people are saying about your franchise?
Well, I think there's a couple things here. I think he's trolling the media.
Okay.
And he knows that the media is going to talk about his comments, but I also think it's a good way to keep your teammates focused.
Now, that I agree with.
Because, hey,
yeah,
these fools, even though it may have only been one fool, doubted us, didn't think we were good.
You're right.
Now we beat the hell out of the Rams in Los Angeles. We shoved it down their throats. Jared Goff was atrocious.
Our defense is feasting on everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our quarterback is good. Our running backs are good. We've got good wide receivers. We're a damn good football team. And these idiots don't believe us. They don't believe in us. So stay focused. Let's prove these guys wrong. It's kind of like Tom Brady in a way last year, right? Like, Tom Brady knew that the Patriots were the most respected team in the league.
Right.
Like, so, everybody respects them and fears them.
But Richard, Richard is correct, though. No one believed the 49ers were going to do anything.
I raised my hand. I figured they would probably win 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Most people did. So,
and I own that.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, what Sherman's saying is true. No one did believe in you. And so you're telling analysts and media personalities to just not say you're good now? Like, that's not how media works, Richard.
But he's trying to change the narrative of it.
Well, it is good from the standpoint that it keeps people from going to Kittle. It keeps people from going to Garoppolo.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, right? Take the pressure off your teammates. He's been there before. Go back to the Legion of Boom. He was kind of like the mouthpiece.
No question.
Remember he was the guy who, with Michael Crabtree.
Yeah. Don't you ever test me. Don't you ever.
He's very vocal, right? Black Lives Matter. He's very vocal in the media about social issues.
He can take the heat.
Yes.
Yes.
Keep the pressure off my young quarterback like he did with Russell Wilson. Keep the pressure off my young tight end. Keep the pressure off my young defensive player, Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa, I'm sorry. So
that's another great point. Keep people away from him.
Yeah, exactly. For a multitude of reasons.
He's shown a penchant for drama and controversy. No, that is a good perspective. But yeah, I just heard Richard, you know, and we talked about it. I love Richard Sherman. This is not like I'm not taking a stab at Richard. I just do find it a little bit comical. Now he's in his second week in a row going at media who, again, do you not understand the job of media? We're just talking, man. Don't take it personally. And again, if I had $80 million, if I had max contracts, my God. I'd be like Marshawn Lynch at those press conferences. Like, I'm just here so I don't get fined. You wouldn't get any press conference quotes from me. But again, maybe that is the genius of Richard Sherman. He understands that there's a lot of hype around this team. There's a lot of questions that are going to be lobbed this way. Much easier to make yourself a villain, make you the lightning rod, so when everyone goes in that locker room, or not even a lightning rod or a villain, just you're the headline. You're the headline coming out of that game. That's good. It's as you said, it keeps the pressure off. Well, as we talk about pressure, It may be off for the San Francisco 49ers due to Richard Sherman. But I don't know about Kansas City, Dallas, and Cleveland. How good are they? Or I should say specifically, how bad are they? And how good are teams like the 49ers, Vikings, and Rams? Well, we're going to have Jeff Erickson. We're going to ask, if I can speak, Jeff Erickson, the senior editor of RotoWire. He's coming up next here on the Mac Attack. And we're going to take a deep dive into what was a wild week in the NFL here on the Mac Attack. Coming up next.
The Mac Attack returns. You're listening to the Mac Attack.
About a third of our way through the NFL season, and the surprises are landing. The Oakland Raiders are a game out of first place. The 49ers are undefeated. What in the hell is going on? Well, don't ask me. We're bringing on the big guns to discuss that very subject. We head out to the phone lines, joined up with our buddy. He is the senior editor over at RotoWire Fantasy Sports, and he's also the host, I should say, of RotoWire Fantasy Sports on SiriusXM. He is Jeff Erickson. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Ryan. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. Just kind of reeling and basking in all the action here from the Vegas Knights, obviously, to the wild week in the NFL. And, hey, the UNLV football went out and actually beat an SEC team. Granted, it was Vanderbilt, but it happened. It happened. But let's talk about these Oakland Raiders real quick, Jeff. They were on the bye. They find themselves one game out of first place. The Kansas City Chiefs, for the first time since 2015, have lost back-to-back games at home. Should there be any worry in Chiefs land about this team?
A little bit. I mean, Chiefs have to worry, you know, take care of their own house, starting with, protecting Pat Mahomes a little bit better. He keeps on aggravating that ankle, and you can tell he's just not nearly as mobile as he usually is, and that really hurts the offense. 2 weeks in a row, both of these losses, you could see it in the second half, that he just wasn't the same player. You know, he's having to fling it a lot more deep and just not quite as accurate, just can't get out of the pocket. Meanwhile, their run defense can't stop anybody. They have a Thursday night game, no rest for the weary here, at Denver, who's on fire right now. They could lose three in a row very easily.
That is, and I don't disagree with you, especially when you think about that Denver defense and how they've been, they've been a staple all year. They've been really solid, and I would expect them, as you mentioned, to be solid against a hobbled, Pat Mahomes. So that would lead me, I guess, to the next question. The Raiders find themselves a game out from first place. Are you a believer in this Raiders team? Because, Jeff, it certainly looks like John Gruden has this team playing for themselves.
Yeah, they do. I was wrong on them. I thought that, week one was kind of their Super Bowl, because the way you saw them in subsequent weeks, especially the Minnesota game, you're kind of thinking, okay, this is kind of more back to reality. Then they go to Indy and they win. And they, go to London and beat the Bears. At some point they get to play at home again. That'll be interesting to see. But, the Raiders and the Bucks have the strangest schedules I've ever seen this year. Like six week gaps between playing at home, actual home games. I think it's even seven for the Bucks, if I'm not mistaken. Because there's a bye week sandwiched in there after the London game, obviously. And then they go back on the road for two more games. It's really, really kind of ridiculous. But, at any rate, one of the things that I've been impressed with the Raiders is, they have, no receivers whatsoever, with Tyrell Williams out against the Bears, and it didn't seem to slow them down at all. Waller got a lot of targets, obviously, and they ran the ball quite well, against a pretty fearsome Bears defense, and they shut down the Bears on the other side. They're playing much better defensively than I expected, too.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially with the loss of Vontaze Burfict. Damn what you feel about the guy. I mean, I know a lot of people have their opinions on Vontaze Burfict, and I'm certainly not going to tell you not to, but the fact is that was an anchor on that defense, and they're playing well without him. Oh, and without Jonathan Abram, who seemed to be making a decent impact.
Yeah, that's the one that really I was surprised by, too, is being able to overcome him. As a self-hating Bengals fan, the perfect thing doesn't surprise me, right, nor does the reaction to it. Nobody's perfect, but we all try.
I like that. Well done there. Jeff, we're here with Jeff Erickson. You can find him on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson. He is a senior editor over at RotoWire. He's also the host of RotoWire Fantasy Sports Today on SiriusXM. All right, Jeff, let's play a game of good and bad. I'm going to give you some teams, and I want you to know, we'll start with the bads. I want to know if they're not bad, bad, or very bad, and we're going to start Let's start with the Chiefs, since we were just talking about them. Are they bad, not bad, or very bad?
No, not bad. Just in a bad spot right now. I mean, injuries have kind of changed who they are. but it's a 16-game season. We're, you know, after week three, we're kind of like, are the Chiefs going to go undefeated? So they clearly aren't bad. They're just in a bad stretch.
All right. Now, one that might be a little more difficult because this was a team, okay, maybe people weren't as high on them as the Kansas City Chiefs, but here in Vegas, outside of the Bears, Jeff, the Cleveland Browns, in terms of tickets, were at the top of the list. People were very high on the Cleveland Browns. They have been losing a lot. Baker Mayfield has been throwing a lot of bad passes. Are they bad, not bad, or very bad?
Kind of bad.
Okay.
They're not very bad.
Okay.
I mean, you can't go into Baltimore and stomp them, and it'd be considered very bad, that's for sure. I think it's just they're in the vast middle of the NFL. They're a team that is still trying to figure out that offensive line. They actually played pretty well against a really good Seattle team yesterday. I mean, that was a back-and-forth game. A couple plays go differently. Who knows? They deserve to be punished for taking my precious Nick Chubb out of the game and throwing to his backup on that game-sealing interception. They deserve that, but... And at the same time, there were some other weird plays. There was that call that clearly was an egregiously bad call against Jarvis Landry that kind of changed things around a little bit. That's one I want to go rewatch a little bit and see what they need to fix. But they're in the vast middle.
All right, let's go with the Dallas Cowboys. Bad, very bad, or not too bad?
Not too bad. You take away Tyrion Smith, and that's a big loss. Now, we're talking about all these reasons. Every team can cite injuries. You mentioned it with the Raiders and how they were able to overcome some of theirs. But this was supposed to be a get well game for them, and it wasn't. And part of that was Sam Darnold actually looked good. I don't know. That was his first game back, and maybe that's a big difference there. I am worried though because it seems like play calling has reverted back to Jason Garrett, and that doesn't seem like a good idea.
All right, let's go to the good teams potentially. The San Francisco 49ers, good, very good, or not so great?
Legit good.
Yeah.
Very good. The defense is so strong. Last 2 weeks we've been saying, okay, this will be a real test of the Niners. Let's see what they are. Well, then they destroyed Cleveland. They went to the Rams and held them, I think, 178 total yards? That's very good. Legit good.
All right. Vikings, good, great, or pretender?
Goodish, good. They're good.
Okay.
I mean, they're like on the opposite end of the pole of the vast middle right now. They're the analog to the Browns, where things are going right. They've figured a few things out. They got people happy. Diggs isn't asking for a trade this week. They fed him, and they also took advantage of the fact that the Eagles' corners are terrible. And this game is all about these individual matchups. We want to paint with that broad brush, and really the case is one little thing can change, and if you exploit the heck out of that, good things happen.
Well, as we talk about the Vikings, I'll ask the same question about their quarterback, Kirk Cousins. To start the season, really going back to last season, he looked like kind of an abomination, or at least at the very least, supremely overrated. But these last couple weeks, Jeff, he really seems to have turned a corner. So what's your read on the Vikings quarterback, Kirk Cousins?
He's a competent, slightly above average quarterback.
Okay.
Not worth the massive contract that he got, but that's what the league values, right?
Yeah.
You need every team is struggling to find a guy that they can trust at quarterback, and he's give him some time and you can throw well. It helps that they've established this running game with Cook, and play action's a lot more effective. And when they play from behind though, they're a lot different of a team. When they get out ahead, they're a very effective team. It's a tautology, though, because I think that's a lot of teams are like that.
All right, so, Jeff, what about the Los Angeles Rams? Because this was a team, right? This was a team with high expectations coming into the season. And to start the season, we're about a third way through. I mean, we're past the start. It's starting to be concern time in Los Angeles. It would lead me to believe, at least. What's your read on this Rams team? How good are they?
Well, they're worse now. I don't know if you saw, just as we were starting the segment, Aqib Talibah was announced that he's going on IR.
Ooh.
So that's a big one there.
That's massive.
That's really going to hurt them quite a bit. Their offensive line isn't the rock that it was last year. And certainly, it's funny. Little things like that change. You lose a couple guys, part of that chain is broken, and it takes a while to adjust, and some teams don't adjust as well. I think, a lot of people saw what the Cowboys did against them. I mean, not what the Cowboys, excuse me, what the Pats did in the Super Bowl against them. And even in the Saints and the NFC Championship game, you take away the early 2018 version of Ty Gurley, and this is a completely different offense.
Well, yeah, and you talk about the loss of Tlaib. What, did they just go out and get Jalen Ramsey? I feel like that's what the Rams have done the last couple seasons. Lose a Pro Bowler, just add another Pro Bowler. And obviously, I'm joking a little bit, but what do you think happens with Jalen Ramsey? You brought up the secondary of the Eagles. I think that's a natural landing spot. Well, what the hell is going on in Jacksonville?
I think it's, Tom Coughlin is what's going on in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I think that the reaction, Ramsey and Coughlin are, different generations, different mindsets. And, this is the only way that players can exercise some power, I think. When you look at the way free agency structure in the NFL, it's really hard to get away from your team. I mean, it takes 2 to 3 extra years with the franchise tag and things of that nature. So this is the new era we're in right now. I don't know if they trade him, though. There's plenty of teams that are going to be in the market for him, though, for sure, if they want to. Now, I also think the other worrying part is, how is his back, really? I mean, he went to go see a specialist. That indicates to me, at least, that there's legit concern. It's not just a blue flu sort of thing. I think teams are going to really want to know all the reports on that before they trade significant assets to try to get him. I mean, there's a lot of teams that could use him. The Eagles, the Chiefs, the Rams. A lot of teams would be in the market for him.
Being joined right now by Jeff Erickson on the Mac Attack. He is the host of RotoWire Fantasy Sports Today on Sirius XM. He's also RotoWire's senior editor. All right, Jeff, let's make a little jump here. We got Monday Night Football going on tonight, a battle in the NFC North. Two teams over 500, and actually, I believe the NFC, I didn't check the most updated standings, but last week, the NFC North was the only division to have every team over 500. I don't know if that has changed. I'm pretty sure that's still the case. Either way, a Lions team, Jeff, that I have stated to start this season and going back years, they are a spoiler. They will always be a spoiler. Any team led by Matt Stafford can hurt you if you aren't prepared. Will that happen tonight against the Green Bay Packers?
It's going to be a close one, I think. No Devontae Adams is a big one for the Packers.
Yeah.
They were able to get away with it last week. And the thing is, Packers played their best game of the year last week at Dallas. Just took it to them. They kind of had to hang on for dear life at the end. But the fact is, they went out. They took care of business early in that one. One thing that happened last week that it kind of forced them to make the right decision is Aaron Jones got a lot of workload because Jamal Williams was hurt. And he's awesome. Jones is awesome. I know there's the case to be made that you need to preserve him for the long run, but I think a 50-50 split was overdoing it, and giving him a lot of work is definitely a good thing because he can make people miss in the open field in the passing game, and that offensive line's underrated good. So we'll see against Detroit. Detroit's got good cover corners, really good secondary. They might be able to dedicate an extra man to stopping the run because of that tonight. So we'll see, but I think it's going to be a close one.
All right, let me ask you this. You're the fantasy expert, and we will end on this. You got eyes on the numbers and the trends better than everybody, and more specifically the schemes at which these players operate under. And there are two men under center this year that are under-delivering in a big way, and it's not just this year. It's kind of been the story of their careers. I'm talking about Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. I'm really curious, which one of those two will be without a starting job next year?
Mariota.
Yeah.
I mean, Winston at least can point to a lot of good games, right? You can point to the Rams game. You can point to a number of other games.
Mm-hmm.
Mariota is just, I don't know. Maybe he's just always perpetually been on the wrong team, wrong franchise. They've had 4 coordinators in 5 years, after all. But he looks lost, and he hasn't really looked found in a long time. He had that one run in the playoffs where they beat the Chiefs, and that was a nice little run, but and other than that, I mean, let's face it, he just has never taken the next step.
All right, Jeff, that is Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. What do you got coming up, either on the website or on the show?
Well, Tuesday is my big rankings day, and I'll be up on the site late Tuesday night. People can check it out.
There you go.
As well as all of our other tools at RotoWire. RotoWire.com/free. You get Chris Liss's East Coast Offense, Jeff Stotts' injury article. Jerry Donabedian does this great article called Hidden Stats. Breaks into, percentage of routes run, percentage of targets, all this sort of good stuff. Really highlight some of the things that you don't naturally see in the box score.
Great stuff, Jeff, as always. RotoWire, not overselling here, an invaluable asset, 100%. I use it, Jeff. We really appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes.
Anytime. Take care.
All right. That is Jeff Erickson. You can find him out at Twitter, @Jeff_Erickson. All right. When we come back here on the Mac Attack, we're going to get you ready for Monday Night Football. And I have a story about a particular colleague of mine over at Sirius who had never tried a banana until today. I know. I know, Chapman. I know. We'll talk about it next.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, this is a quote. I went 30 years before I ever ate an apple, 40 years before I ever tried coffee. Now the big reveal, almost 49 years, I just ate my first banana. I'm growing as a human being. You want to guess who said that?
Well, I know you do some stuff with Mark Henry, but...
It's not Mark Henry, but he is on that show, and it is a man that I'm pretty sure you saw wrestle live back in Philadelphia.
Oh, man. I'm going my ECW days. Tommy Dreamer.
That is Tommy Dreamer.
Wow.
Tommy Dreamer just today had his first banana as a 49-year-old man. Now
the coffee stuff I'm down with, right? Because I didn't have my first cup of coffee till I was 38. So
yeah,
I get
that. There's things like that. That the coffee is an acquired taste. It's bitter. It's a very adult beverage, if you will. Bananas.
You eat them as a kid.
Apples.
Yeah. Puts them in your lunchbox.
Was Tommy Dreamer raised by wolves? Like, not even wolves. Was he raised by, like, chocolate wolves, like, in the land of Hershey?
And Chocula Willy Wonka?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like, what in the hell? Where were you raised? Also, I can see this if you're, like, a child of the 80s and 90s like you and I are. We were raised on Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Count Chocula and a bunch of garbage.
Gosh, yeah.
Happy Meals, Frankenberries.
I have Blueberry that I picked up a big box at the store the other day because I love it so much. And the only time that you can get it is during Halloween.
Right. So I understand if it's our generation. But if we're talking about Tommy Dreamer, Tommy Dreamer's like 50 years old.
And he was also an athlete.
Yeah. Like, what? I quote tweeted it, and I said, this has to be a lie. Tommy hit me up via DM. I'll just show you so you know I'm not BSing over here. So Tommy reaches out DM. He doesn't reply to me on Twitter. And he goes, because I go, they can't be true. He goes, sadly it is. Never had a pear or a peach either.
What? What?
I literally go, never mind the bumps you took. How are you still breathing?
Yeah. Well, he is the innovator of violence.
That is his moniker. For those who don't know, Tommy Dreamer, all-time WWE legend, Hall of Famer, but also ECW hardcore psychopath.
He was the hardcore legend in ECW, him and Sandman and Taz
and Sabu.
Yeah. But Dreamer was really the face of the franchise.
Just all that violence and all those beatings, having never eaten a banana or a peach. Like, think with me. I mean, you're a worldly dude. You've traveled the globe. Same with me. I like to be adventurous. I didn't know. When I moved out here 13, 12 years ago, I can't say I was that adventurous. I had probably never had a proper Thai meal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I was a huge fan of Mediterranean food. That's all changed.
Yeah.
I'm literally like trying to think right now what I haven't tried. And
fruit,
I don't think there is one.
Like, I've eaten pomegranates, I've had dragon fruit, I've had lychee,
lychee's a weird one, I've had that.
Anything you could think of.
I've had it.
I mean, I've lived in Southeast Asia, I've eaten mangosteen, which nobody knows what the hell that is.
Well, I don't even know what the hell that is, but I was raised in Indiana, and I've had that. I'm from Indiana, Tommy Dreamer, and I have had all this fruit. You are a 50-year-old man who just had his first banana. I'm serious. I don't know if they, like, should we be worried?
Yeah.
Like, I don't
I
even
think
know.
No. Yeah.
It proves that humans can live 50 years at least having never eaten fruit.
And being absolutely insane.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying. I feel like that builds hope. Like, I'm hopeful now.
I think he's a special breed.
I'm gonna go now. I don't know. I'm going to get like a big bucket of fried chicken.
Yeah.
Some of those gas station potato wedges, which I love.
Gas station potato
wedges are the best. They still got the skin on them.
Yeah. Oh, well, those are good.
Yeah.
I like that.
I thought the gas station potato wedges are delicious.
Big pieces of salt.
Yes. It's good for me and my kidney stones.
Yes, some pepper.
That's why I don't take off shows when I get kidney stones. Like, I had one like a couple weeks ago and someone was like, I was like, yeah, I kind of have to work through them. Because I'm a dumbass.
You don't have a choice.
Because I go out and eat gas station potato wedges. What am I gonna like call out on a Monday and be like, guys, can't make the show. I got kidney stones. I'm like, yeah, dumbass, of course you have kidney stones.
Gas station potato wedges.
Yeah.
They do it to you every time.
One of those Mexican Cokes. That's the one good thing. I stopped drinking.
Topo Chico, whatever it's called.
Yeah. Well, no.
Water. Oh, that's delicious.
Well, I just stopped drinking the domestic sodas because they have high fructose corn syrup. The ones down in Mexico
have
cane sugar. Exactly. So that was also the high fructose, the cane sugar doesn't do anything for the kidney stones. I'm a big dumb idiot, folks. We'll be back here on the Mac Attack tomorrow. Full review, Monday Night Football, and a preview. The Vegas Golden Knights coming at you. We'll see you then. Okay.
just getting better each day. Stacking that cheddar cheesecake. Look up to the Lord, we pray. Trying to be my best each day. Until I'm late, the rest of we late. Yeah, to the time being, we lit. Hoping I don't let it get all in my head. Now I don't need the money just to say that I'm rich.